The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the new Growing in Faith Bible. It's written for children, grandchildren, and godchildren, ages 8 through 10. The Growing in Faith Bible contains more than 100 Bible stories with beautiful, engaging pictures. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Growing in Faith Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There was an op-ed in the Washington Post titled, Imagine If the Christian Right Started Offering Mere Thoughts and Prayers to End Abortion. It was an argument, I don't know if it was an argument against the way the Christian right approaches abortion or against the way the Christian right approaches gun violence, because that's where people get, well, they get all upset every time there's a mass shooting, as they ought to, when Christians offer thoughts and prayers. Joining us to respond to this op-ed in the Washington Post, Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd, as always.
It seems like we're talking about this more and more, and the argument is coming up more and more, where critics of pro-lifers are saying, if you're going to be consistent pro-lifers, you have to do this and thus on other issues besides simply abortion. Why do you think this argument is so popular nowadays?
Well, I think because it's been resurrected and put into popular play by some of our own so-called friends and leaders. You look at groups like the ERLC, Russell Moore, and others, and they are advocating that in order to be truly pro-life, we need to be whole life, meaning we're not just against abortion. We are womb to the tomb on pro-life, and that means we take on all kinds of issues, not just stopping abortion. We have to take on immigration policy. We have to take on refugee policy. We have to take on working environment policies, environment policies, and the list goes on and on and on. And the premise that our friends have bought that is so destructive, Todd, is that because we oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being, we are therefore responsible to fix everything else wrong with society. And pro-lifers need to counterpunch against that, not by the premise of our critics. And too many people on our side, I think because they want to be liked by the left, have bought the premise rather than push back against it.
So what did you make of the op-ed in the Washington Post about thoughts and prayers, kind of trying to make a, didn't actually come out and say, pro-lifers, if you were as politically active on gun violence as you are on abortion, then we'd take you more seriously.
Well, look, John Fee has written some good things on pro-life. I don't think I'd want to say about the guy that he has nothing good to say. He has been consistent in being concerned about abortion. So let's give credit where credit is due. Where I think he makes his mistake, and it's somewhat subtle in this piece, is the moral equivalency that is implied in it. Are mass shootings a tragedy? Of course they are. And of course we ought to do reasonably what we can to oppose it. But let's get real here with the numbers. If you look at the numbers from 1982 to now, I'm just going to read through a couple of years. I won't even go through all of that. Just a few. 2019, we had 57 people killed, 78 wounded in mass shootings. 2018, 80 killed, 66 wounded. 2017, 117 killed, 463 wounded. And I could just keep going on, and the numbers are right around that for the whole time of this study. My point is this. When we look at abortion, we're talking over a million deaths a year, intentionally killed human beings with state sanction. Our nation doesn't legalize mass murder or mass shootings. It does legalize and promote and fund, in many cases, the intentional killing of innocent human beings in the womb. Of course Christians are more concerned about that than they are mass shootings. Of course they're putting their efforts into that and not putting equal emphasis on the gun violence. They can't take on every issue under the sun, especially when pro-life organizations are broke and thinly strapped to begin with.
Okay, how would you correct the argument made there? How would you correct the connection made in that op-ed piece so that it kind of said what really needs to be said from a pro-life perspective?
Well, drop the ad hominem attack against pro-lifers. Why even bring pro-lifers into this? Why even bring Christians into this? Why not just say it would be nice if when we see these mass shootings, we work constructively to come up with a solution that works. Instead, what he just does is parrot the left's policy. We need gun control. That's not really a constructive and thoughtful way to approach this. He's playing politics here. How about thinking about what do we do to actually deal with violence in Chicago, for example, or any inner city violence? Why are we always coming back to Christians and saying the answer here is you've got to de-emphasize abortion or at least show equal care for these other issues, and then maybe we'd take you credibly on your abortion stance? I just think that's an unfair way for critics to go, and I don't think our leaders should buy it.
I'm curious about this is where I kind of classify this one, Scott, and I can't remember where I picked it up. It was a couple months ago. Someone was talking about an old argument that used to be made in the communist era when communism was on the rise in Western Europe. It was called whataboutism. And it's just kind of a fancy way of saying an easy way to change the subject if you don't want to talk about something, which thus the what about. And it would be when the conversation turned in a direction you didn't want it to go, you'd say, well, what about this? And what about that? It's a kind of a mind-numbing way of changing the subject, but also kind of getting forth your propaganda. Is that what we're seeing here in this whole life argument?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, let's get clear what the pro-life argument is. Premise one, it's wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. Premise two, abortion intentionally kills an innocent human being. Conclusion, therefore, abortion's wrong. If our critics have the ability to show that that syllogism fails, either the validity test or the soundness test, bring it on. We'll consider their concerns. But when you just change the subject and say that because you oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being, you have no credibility unless you take on all these other so-called life issues, that's just ridiculous. And if the pro-life movement listens to these people, we're going to lose. And I'm very happy to see that a large number of our leaders are coalescing around this idea that we are not going to allow people to redefine our mission. We're not going to become whole life. We are going to focus on the greatest evil of our time, which is the intentional killing of innocent human beings in the womb. Now, as Christians, there's nothing wrong with us saying, you know what? We're going to care about other issues. Of course we are. But we shouldn't be criticized because we put more emphasis on the intentional killing of over a million innocent human beings a year than we do a handful of mass shootings. Look, the mass shootings are tragedies, but let's not have moral equivalence here where there isn't any.
Do you think that in some cases, this argument, when it's not made from kind of ignorance or having not thought through the issue here, is an attempt to divide the pro-life community on these other issues? Because the pro-life community is remarkably diverse and yet united in its opposition to the killing of the unborn.
I can't say for certain because I haven't done any empirical investigation into that, but here's what I can tell you. There are a lot of our so-called friends who I think are more leftist than they are pro-life. And it comes out in articles like this one or any other one that says you can't be pro-life and then fill in the blank, own a gun, or be for tax credits, or oppose welfare. You know, all these articles that come out. I mean, my goodness, right now we're told that the opiate crisis is a pro-life issue we have to take on. Will it ever end, Todd? The list is endless. And I think what's happening is a lot of people who don't have boots on the ground, they're not in schools talking to students the way we do at Life Training Institute. They're not engaging people on college campuses. They're not training students at Christian worldview forums and hearing what these students have to say. Look, the message we give that it's wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being, we back up with science and philosophy, and the students appreciate it. We don't have to take on all these other issues to be credible. Oh, and by the way, Todd, let's be very frank. Let's suppose we did everything our critics are telling us we have to do. We take on the environment. We take on the opiate issue. We take on the refugee crisis, immigration. We embrace every leftist program under the sun. But we insist on ending abortion. Are our critics going to join us? There's no way they're going to join us. The only thing they will accept is us surrendering on abortion. This is one big smokescreen.
There's another form of this that was common and still is common, and it's often made, but I think it's actually the same argument in just a different form, and that is, well, you pro-lifers only care about unborn children, you don't care about born children, or you only care about abortion, you don't care about the death penalty or whatever else, their poverty or anything. It's just the same argument, slightly gussied up so that for some reason pro-lifers have fallen for it.
Well, in fact, you're exactly right about this, because John Fee wrote an article himself saying most pro-lifers would have no problem witnessing an execution and going to a pro-life march the next day. I mean, set aside for the moment the sarcasm in that piece. Suppose we are that bad. Suppose we really are that crazy that we just don't even care about capital punishment. We want a whole lot of it to happen. Suppose we were that bad. How does it follow that A, the unborn are not human, or B, intentionally killing them is okay? This is all, as you put it very well, what if? This is changing the subject. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. If abortion does not intentionally kill an innocent human being, I don't care how many you have. But if it does, a million deaths a year is an unprecedented tragedy, and we as Christians are within our rights to make our focus that tragedy and not pick up every tragedy under the sun and equally take it on.
You mentioned earlier that essentially this is just kind of a very soft ad hominem. It is an argument against the person, or in this case, against pro-lifers in general, that does not engage the real issue that is vital and the very reason why pro-lifers are pro-life.
Yeah. Now, to keep in mind, I think that Mr. Fee gets this part right. He says, look, we are all created in the image of God. We are image bearers, and that belief informs our pro-life focus. Agreed, completely. But again, just because all are equally image bearers does not mean there aren't tragedies against some image bearers that deserve greater weight than others, and the abortion one deserves the greatest weight.
I imagine in your long career now, advocating for pro-life, you feel like a broken record because you are constantly coming back to who are the unborn. Why are you willing to spend the rest of your life making that one argument?
Well, number one, it's the correct one. It's the main thing we need to focus on. Abortion is not wrong because it harms women or makes women depressed or makes them suffer from post-abortion syndrome. It is a tragedy that women suffer that way, but that's not primarily what makes abortion wrong. What primarily makes abortion wrong is we are intentionally killing an innocent human being. So, of course, we're going to come back to that like a broken record, as every successful social reform keeps the main thing the main thing. The other reason we come back to it is because that message works. When we make the focus of our pro-life apologetic the humanity of the unborn and the inhumanity of abortion, we change hearts and minds. And that's why we keep at it. We won't let go of it.
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute. He's author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. You can purchase it and learn more about Life Training Institute under the Talk On Demand archives page at IssuesETC.org. Scott, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the creation of the world. On Wednesday, we'll get a biography of late 4th century, early 5th century Bishop Augustine of Hippo in North Africa for Pastor Will Whedon. Then on Thursday, we'll discuss one woman's story about adoption and reconciliation with Deaconess Rose Adel and Mary Cruda. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.